Some of you might know the game of chess, which I like to play, which, if you've never played it, when you look at the board and the pieces, you might think, well, this is a simple game. 32 pieces, 16 white, 16 black, a square board, 8x8. You can learn how to play chess in 5 or 10 minutes. But when you begin to actually play and dig into it, you actually discover it's more complicated than you might at first think. Thousands of books have been written about how to play chess. Beginning of the game, middle of the game, end of the game. Opening theory, middle game theory, end game theory. Some books have been written analysing the moves you can make. Queen's Gambit, King's Indian, the Ray Lopez opening. 10, 15 moves ahead, how to plan. The middle game theory. Pins and forks and sacrifices. How to give away pieces to your advantage. The end game, how to win or defend. So chess is a game, it looks simple at first, but the more you study it, the more you find out there are lots of complications. So if you wanted to play me in chess, let me know, and I'll give you a game. There are books written about chess by thousands of people. Top players have had their games analysed. Well, our text tonight, as we're looking at Paul wanting to send Timothy to the Philippians, at first this seems a simple passage, straightforward. But as we dig into these verses tonight, chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 19 to 24, we find that there's actually more here than we might think. Paul is telling the Christians in Philippi that he has a plan. He wants to send Timothy to see them. But there are some complications. Timothy was not able to go straight away on this trip to Philippi for Paul. And as we dig into the text then, we find that there are other things going on. There's a reason why Paul wants to send Timothy to Philippi. Paul is concerned for them. He wants to see them grow in Christ. He sees that there are issues that need to be dealt with in the church. He can send Timothy because he knows Timothy would be a help to them. So he's willing to send Timothy. And verse 24 indicates that Paul himself wanted at some stage to go and visit Philippi as well. But as we dig, we discover that Timothy and Paul are also modeling for us what Paul has told the Philippians to do themselves. Paul has commanded those in Philippi to seek unity. Philippians 1, verse 27, and chapter 2, verse 2. Whether I come and see you or am absent, I want to hear of your affairs that you stand fast in the faith, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, he writes. Or chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. He wants them to walk humbly before God. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. He wants them to be willing to sacrifice, to serve the Lord and sacrifice in serving him. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So Paul has been exalting them, and now we see Paul and Timothy modeling those exhortations in their own attitude to Paul being willing to send Timothy to them. So there's a surface level where this text looks straightforward. But when we see the historical circumstances, when we analyze the plan and see what's going on, who is Timothy? Why did Paul want to send him? Why was there a delay? How do they model in their own lives what Paul has been exhorting the Philippians themselves? We see there's more to it than just the surface level. We see Timothy's servant heart for the Philippians. We also see Paul's servant heart, the driving force behind his plan to send Timothy to Philippi in the first place. Paul speaks of how that would encourage him. He speaks of how it would help those in Philippi, but it would be at some personal cost. Personal cost to Paul, personal cost to Timothy. So it's an encouragement to us as well as we seek to honour Jesus Christ in our lives and serve him. How can we develop this servant-heartedness that we see Paul and Timothy modelling and which has been described to us in Philippians in the greatest example of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant king who came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let's look first of all at the plan. Paul has a plan to send Timothy to Philippi. They didn't have WhatsApp in those days. They didn't have email. It's hard for some younger people to imagine it, but some of us can remember days before a mobile phone. And if you wanted to check up on someone in Paul's day, you either sent a letter, which would take a long time to get there, or you would send someone on your behalf would bring a report back. But that would be a long journey. Well, that's what Paul was planning to do. He was planning to send Timothy to Philippi. Texts, emails, phone calls are all well and good. But there are some things that need a personal visit. Some of you know that as believers. Some things require a personal visit, face to face. There was an advert on TV which emphasized this, where a boss was walking around the room saying that he had a phone call from a customer saying that the customer was stopping doing business with them. He used to do business with us face to face. Now it's just a phone call and he stopped dealing with us, the boss says. So we're going to go out face to face, visit our customers. And when one or two of the salespeople began to protest, that'll be lots and lots of visits. His secretary came in with a pile of folders with airline tickets. They were going to have to go out and start visiting their customers face to face. Welcome if you're the kind of business that still believes in personal service. That was the punchline for the ad. And when the sales force asked the boss, well, are you going to get involved in this? What are you going to do? His quick response was, I'm going to visit that customer who dropped us this morning. Face-to-face communication can still be effective, and at times it's needed. Well, that's what Paul here thought for Timothy and those in Philippi. I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. So Paul wants to know what's going on in Philippi. He wants to hear good news. God willing, we'll see that he'd already received some good news from Epaphroditus, that things were going well in Philippi. But he also knew there were some issues there, some issues that Paul needed Timothy to go and teach and bring to them apostolic exhortation. For example, there were two women in the congregation who were not getting on with each other. Paul calls them out by name in chapter 4, verse 2. I wonder, when they were sitting there, what they thought when this letter was read. Here's a letter from the Apostle Paul. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Well, that's the reason Timothy was going. Paul couldn't go. Paul's under house arrest in prison. He's had some freedoms under house arrest. He was able to have people come to his home, but he was under guard, he was under arrest, there were Roman soldiers, but Paul could send Timothy. Philippians 1 verse 1 indeed starts, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. So it seems Timothy was known to the Philippians. He was there when the church began, on Paul's second missionary journey. Paul went to Lystra, where Timothy lived. We know a little about Timothy and his background. His father was probably an unbeliever, a Greek. His mother was a believing Jew named Lois. His grandmother was a believing Jew. Her name was Eunice. And from those godly women, Timothy had learnt the scriptures. And he'd come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably he was converted when Paul came through Lystra during that first missionary journey, preaching the gospel. So Timothy was a believer. He had grown as a Christian. He had a good reputation Acts 16, verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. So Paul trusted Timothy. He discerned Timothy's integrity. Timothy joined Paul on his missionary journeys. Timothy joined Paul and Silas from Lystra. They headed west across Asia Minor. They arrived in Philippi. Timothy would have been there when they went down to that place by the river where prayer was customarily made, and the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive the gospel. Paul casting out the demon out of the slave girl. Timothy probably would have been there. Probably at the Philippian jailer's home after the jailer was converted, and he'd asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And the apostolic response, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." So Timothy was known by the Christians in Philippi. If Paul wanted to send someone to Philippi to care for the believers there, he had a man he could send who knew them, and Paul trusted him. Timothy was the man. So we see how Paul describes Timothy in verse 20. "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Paul knew the character of Timothy. He knew Timothy would care for the Philippians. The language is strong enough that we might say that for Paul to send Timothy, it was as if Paul went himself. They were like-minded. Literally, they were equal-souled. S-O-U-L-E-D, equal souls, equal hearts. On another occasion when Paul sent Timothy to those in Corinth, he said, "I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ that I teach everywhere, in every church." Timothy was Paul's ambassador. He was Paul's representative. That's what Paul is saying. As a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So why could Paul not just send Timothy straight away? Well, verse 23 gives us some insight. "Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me," Paul says. There were certain circumstances that were stopping Timothy from going straight away to Philippi. And it seems that the delay had something to do with Paul's imprisonment. In those days, imprisonment was different from today. These days, those in prison are provided with food and shelter and clothing. But in Paul's day, none of that was the case. If you wanted food, someone from the outside would have to bring food to you. If you wanted clothes, somebody from the outside would have to bring clothes to you. If you had particular needs, they had to be provided by someone caring for you. And it seems that Timothy was serving Paul in that way, helping him, providing for his needs, looking after him. Paul couldn't leave the house, but Timothy, it seems, had some freedom to come and go. So if Timothy went to Philippi, someone else would have to provide for Paul and fulfill Timothy's function. Someone dependable, someone committed. And those sorts of people are not around always. Someone would have to come to help Paul to free up Timothy. Now, Paul wanted obviously to go himself. "I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come shortly to Philippi," Paul has said. But the court's final decision was up in the air. Paul, it seems, had some confidence that he'd been released. But he wasn't able to go himself straight away. And he wasn't able to send Timothy straight away. We read of Paul's desire back in chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, where Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He goes on to say, "I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." So Paul has a plan, but his plan is subject to the will of God. He's not able to send Timothy straight away, and Paul is not able to go himself straight away. There's a Christian writer called A.W. Pink, Arthur Pink, whose father was a Christian, And one day in their home in Nottingham in 1902, Pink was sitting with his father. His father was reading at breakfast time the morning paper. And suddenly his father looked up from the paper, turned to his mother and said to her, "I'm sorry to see this notice worded in this way." "What notice is that?" his wife asked him. "It's the proclamation of the coronation of Prince Edward at Westminster Abbey. They give the exact date, but they have not written, God willing." And what his father said stuck in A.W. Pink's mind. And it came back to him a few months later, because the coronation planned for a specific date had to be postponed because Prince Edward had appendicitis. God willing. Well, Paul has a plan here. And his plan is God willing, but he's not able to go himself straight away. He's not able to send Timothy straight away. But Paul wants Timothy to go. That's the plan. Let's think secondly of the heart. What was in Paul's heart? What was in Timothy's heart? What was in their hearts that meant this trip to Philippi was important? Paul was in prison. Why send his most faithful friend? Why send his most loyal companion away to Philippi? "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I know your state," Paul says. Paul is to be encouraged when he hears about what's happening in Philippi. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." We've read of that in chapter 1. "Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For I have you in my heart," Paul says. There's his heart. He's willing to lose his most trusted, reliable companion and send him to Philippi. "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." So Paul knew that God was at work in Philippi. He wanted to hear of that work of God. So Paul's servant heart meant he was willing to send his friend and companion Timothy to Philippi. When we hear of God's work taking place in someone's life or in a church somewhere, in a different part of the world, is there something in your heart that wants to get behind those involved in such work? Here in the church, we get regular missionary reports from Oliver in Ghana. Some of the money that is given in offerings to the church is sent out to help finance that work in Ghana. Here's what Oliver wrote in his most recent report on the 5th of March. He says, "Since I've been in the Ashanti region," that's an area of Ghana, "my hometown, I visited 5 schools. My message to the children has been, God has not forgotten you. I chose this topic," he writes, "because many children feel that God is not real or that God has abandoned or forgotten them." So then he goes on, "Please pray. Please pray for the Lord to send out more faithful volunteers to go and work in the schools. Pray that Christ be formed in the children's lives." On a personal note, he writes, "Pray for the Lord's presence at my wife's sister's funeral on the 27th of March," that's this Friday, "and the chief's funeral on the 27th of April," that's just over a month's time. Now, one of the great blessings of Oliver's ministry, he's not in it for the money or for fame or for a following, but he does want to see the gospel's transforming power. There's nothing very unusual about Oliver's report that I just read, but it's news from a faithful pastor, loving people, reaching out with the gospel, growing the church, reaching out into schools ministry as we do here with Pathway. Are you reading the reports on the church website? Do you get updates on WhatsApp? If you don't read the reports, I would encourage you, read them. Get the WhatsApp, join the WhatsApp messaging group. Start being involved in the work of the gospel in all sorts of different ways. Invest your treasure in heaven, where the thief does not come in to steal and destroy. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when Paul sent Timothy to Philippi, that was his servant heart motive. Yes, he was looking for encouragement. Yes, Paul wanted to rejoice at hearing of the work of God in Philippi. But he was concerned for the believers in Philippi to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he wanted to see God at work there, as he was praying for God to be at work in Rome too. So it wasn't only for Paul to be encouraged himself. There was also this servant-heartedness, his love for the Christians in Philippi. He knew if he sent Timothy, Timothy would be able to help and support and encourage the work in Philippi. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Timothy to visit the Philippians would be valuable for them. He would be a help for them. He'd be able to teach them. He'd be able to counsel them, guide them, serve them. He'd be able to remind them of the glories of the gospel. Timothy could imitate Paul's ministry. He'd bring a word from God to them. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly, says Paul. So the plan, Timothy, is to be sent to Philippi as soon as possible, God willing. Paul would like to go there and visit them too, God willing. Paul and Timothy have a heart to serve the Philippians. Paul was willing to give up his own personal interests to send Timothy, his loyal companion, to serve others. Which leads us then to the third point, the plan, the heart of Paul and Timothy, the example. Paul and Timothy are modeling what Paul has been exhorting the Philippians in this letter. Paul and Timothy are like living illustrations of what Paul has been saying. Paul was practicing what he'd been preaching to them. Notice their humility, where Paul had written to the Philippians, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." We've already seen humility is the key to unity. A congregation of humble people will be a united congregation, because then each one isn't in it for self, but each one is looking out for the interests of others. People not just pushing their own personal agenda, but wanting to see what is best for the whole body. Humility is a key not to complain. We complain when we think we're owed something. But humility is, Paul has told us, esteeming others. Chapter 2, verse 4, it is not only looking for your own personal interests. Chapter 2, verse 4, it is looking out for the interests of others. So when we look at the text and we see that Paul has been exhorting the Philippians to humility, Paul now models it. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, he says. Paul isn't looking out only for his own interests, is he? His best interests, Paul's best interests, would be to keep Timothy. Keep Timothy close to him. Keep Timothy ministering to him. Keep Timothy close so that when he had needs, Timothy could provide for Paul. But Paul willingly gives Timothy up to send him to Philippi. He's willing to let him go. It's that humble attitude that fostered this servant heart in Paul. "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state," he says. When Timothy went to Philippi, he wouldn't be self-seeking either. Timothy wasn't going to Philippi for his own good, seeking his own good. He wouldn't be puffed up. Timothy would not go there looking after his own interests. Timothy's heart was distinctive. He'd sincerely care for their state, Paul says. Paul mentions a problem in chapter 2, verse 21. "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus," he says. Paul is willing to give up Timothy. even though Timothy is distinctive from others around Paul. Paul says, everybody, in fact, all, seek their own. That's quite startling. Paul is in touch with lots of other believers. At the end of this letter, Paul will write, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. So although Timothy was helping Paul, there were other believers around. And yet he says they all sought their own interests. That's a big challenge to us. Whose interests do we serve? Back in chapter 1, we had a glimpse of some of these people who were self-serving. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul rejoiced when the gospel was being preached, even though some were preaching from self-centered motives. But Paul was vulnerable. He was under house arrest. He was in prison. There would be times when Paul really needed help. He would need someone who would go out and gather the things he needed. Food, clothing, other things that Paul would need. And those who were seeking their own wouldn't be able to help Paul. Timothy was the man who helped Paul. Timothy was the one who sought the interests of Christ. Timothy was the one who was following the Lord Jesus Christ, modeling what the Savior himself had said in Matthew chapter 20 and from verse 25, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And here's Paul with Timothy. Timothy was reliable, committed, dependable, but Paul was willing to give him up. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So we see the humility of Timothy's heart and of Paul's heart. Here's Paul modeling what he's been teaching to them. It was obvious to all. You know his proven character, Paul says of Timothy. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So I'm saying tonight, will you be a Timothy? A servant-hearted Christian. One who desires not to be served, but to serve. Whatever our plans and desires individually as a church congregation, we know God is the one who is sovereign, God willing, we say. But this servant-heartedness, this humility that we see here, Paul, Timothy, supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he humbled himself and came as the servant king. So let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. We thank you tonight for this reminder and this challenge that in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came not to be served, but to serve. And we see it in Paul, we see it in Timothy. We pray that you'll teach us what it means to serve. Give us that servant-heartedness. And in our lives to enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ as that servant king we seek to follow in every aspect of life. So we cry out for your cleansing and for your help. God at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. O Lord, work by the power of your Holy Spirit in every heart to Christ's glory. And hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing as a closing hymn number 821. 821, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. I've chosen it particularly for the last verse. The last verse says this: so let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him, enthrone Jesus Christ, the servant king. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we are serving. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him. So we'll stand to sing number 821. Pray then. All praise to our servant King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us what it means that he came as the servant of the Lord, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we, the redeemed of the Lord, come to you this evening, our Lord, confessing that our trust is in him alone for all our acceptance before God. But we pray, Lord, that you will teach us to do what we've just sung together, learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone Jesus Christ. May grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people tonight, forevermore. world without end. Amen.